How y'all doing? Happy Father's Day. Hey, if you're sitting next to a father, I want you to hold your thumb up. Hold your thumb up and look him in the eyes, okay? Look him in the eyes and say, you're somebody special. Okay. We'll get the dad jokes out of the way right away. If I haven't met you, my name is Mickey. And this is the happiest place on earth, all right? I'm one of the pastors here. My last name. If you're from France, it's Mickey Stonier. If you're from England, it's Mickey Stonier. And then people from California always say, oh, Mickey Stoner. And that's just wrong, all right? Just wrong. Hey, we're doing our series, We Need to Talk, and we had a survey and different topics that we're doing. We're finishing up on relationships. We're going to focus in on parents, dads. It also applies to mom, really applies to all of us. And then next week is a two-week series on anxiety and depression. It's a big issue in our day, and so I want to encourage you to come on back, bring some friends as our series is going to continue. Hey, just so you know, I have such a great love for you all. This is my 50th year in ministry, okay? Yeah. I knew Moses personally when we were going through the Red Sea. That was a tough time, but we made it through. But I just want you to know, you are so loved by the ministry staff here, the pastors. I had the honor, I've known Pastor Miles for almost 40 years now. Our kids grew up together, and he is the same exact person he was 40 years ago as he is today. His passion for the gospel. This church is not about the rock. It's not about miles it's about Jesus. And that's the focus. And Jesus is our message. I do want to encourage you on your way out. We do have these posters, flyers for the Just When one that Pastor Miles is going to be able to share with the young in our city. So please grab these. We have some other things taking place after. Don't rush out today. There's some great things for the dads here today. We'll tell you about that later coming up. Someone once told me, Pastor Miles is like steak every Sunday, on point. And then Pastor Travis is like lobster. We got steak and lobster together. And he says, Pastor Mickey, you're here once a year. You're kind of like turkey. So the turkey's here today. So, every holiday, whether you like it or not, we're pulling out the turkey. It's an honor to be here with you. But let's pray. That the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I really don't care if you remember what I say, because what I say doesn't really matter. I would pray that you remember what the Holy Spirit says. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And when you're listening to the Lord, he's going to minister to things that go deep into your heart. In fact, let me invite you today, kind of get out of your head. There's something called trauma membrane. When we've been hurt, the brain stores memory to avoid and self-protect. And sometimes in this world, the crazy world, we have this trauma membrane getting in a congregation. I know there's a number of you that are here and you have a drug problem. You were drug here by family because it's Father's Day. You didn't want to be here, but you're here. And God has an appointment with you. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, even beyond the words that are being said. So let's open our hearts up. Can I pray for you? Thank you that you are present. And God, your love. And you desire to impart love to each and every one of us. So Holy Spirit, take over. Speak your thoughts, your heart to all that are here, that we wouldn't resist the voice of your Spirit, that we would draw close to you and experience the transformation that you desire to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you learned the prayer growing up as a little child? My mom taught me right before you go to sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many knew that? You were growing up. Oh, that is so wrong. I would lay in bed, recite that prayer, and I would go, I'm going to die. I might die tonight, you know? And I was so fearful. I grew up with a fear of death that kind of plagued me. And then over time, when I came to faith and got freed up with all of those things. But today we're going to look at the Beatitudes, a father's Beatitudes. In Scripture, we have in Matthew 5 the Beatitudes traditionally, but these are the attitudes that really all of us need to be. In fact, it goes through the vowels, A-E-I-O, for you, okay? So we're going to walk through these four of the five vowels. When my oldest daughter was young, in fact, all my kids, I would take them on missions trips with me. And my oldest daughter, when she was like in first grade, I took some of my daughters, I would take them to the weddings I would do. And this one wedding, it was in La Jolla. She's with me. I got her seated in the back and she's taking it all in. And so I go through the wedding and towards, you know, the important part of the wedding where the couple shares their vows. And so I had them come and share your vows to one another. And they shared their vows and at the end close the service, sign the wedding document. And then I eventually get back to with my daughter and we go out to the car. We get in the car, we're going to drive home. And she says, Daddy, they didn't do their vows. And I go, no, at the end. She goes, I didn't hear them. They didn't say A-E-I-O-U. I said, oh, the vowels. So now when you get married, make sure to do the wedding vows, okay? Walk through. So we're going to do kind of the wedding vows as parents, as dads, for all of us. There's a scripture in Matthew 6 where Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer. And it goes like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many know that? Scripture. Okay. It actually, in the Greek, doesn't say that. It's actually plural. It says, our Father who's in the heavens. Well, what does that mean? Well, in Hebrew understanding, there were three heavens. There's the air we breathe, and sometimes it's this sphere that we're in, atmosphere, is called heaven. The heaven, the heavenly realm here. But then, David talked about the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show his handiwork. It's talking about the stars, the moon and the stars. That's referred to as heaven. And then the third heaven is heaven where God dwells. The angelic worship, it's another dimension. But when Jesus was teaching prayer, he says, our Father is in all of it. He's here now. And some of us grow up with an image of God that God is way far out there. He's unapproachable. Our God's in heaven. He's way out there. And sometimes that's influenced by how we're raised. The impact of a dad who wasn't there. An angry father, an angry parent that yelled or put you down or was abusive emotionally. And then we get this view of God. God's an angry God, and God's distant. He abandoned me. Well, I want to share, sometimes people view God on how they viewed their dad. And Scripture would have us know, let's view the world as we understand who God is, that we would live a God-centered life. And so today we're going to go through a number of scriptures. Put your finger in 2 Samuel chapter 23. That's our main text we'll end with that we'll focus in on. You know what? All of us sometimes make mistakes as dads. We have regrets as moms, as brothers, sisters. I'll be very vulnerable with you. I have a major regret in my life. It was a mistake I made. My wife has forgiven me. My kids were embarrassed about it. In fact, it was 43 years ago on my wedding day. It's embarrassing. Again, my wife's forgiven me of this, so I can share it with you. In fact, I have a picture I'll put up on the screen on my wedding day. I actually wore a powder blue tuxedo. I'm so embarrassed, but I just want to be open, raw with you. My wife's forgiven me. The kids, we have no pictures around the house. My youngest daughter posted that on Facebook just to get me one day. So it's embarrassing. So I humbled myself. Please, there. You know what? God forgave me. And we have a beautiful family. And so God can turn any bad thing into a good thing. Amen? All right. Our first letter A on the A-E-I-O, number one is be attentive and affirming. Matthew 17:5, look at this. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Some of Jesus' disciples were on what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. They're on this mountain, and Jesus' glory was manifest. And the Father to his Son, and publicly to the disciples, says, "This is my beloved, I love my Son. I'm well pleased with him." Now, some of us haven't had that, the affirmation, haven't had the, literally, the attentiveness of a loving father. Know this, the Bible declares that God loves you, God knows you, he's always attentive. In fact, he pursues you. Many of us have a desire, we want love to, we want those around us to pursue, and yet we sometimes are looking back and no one's pursuing, and there's within our heart to be loved. God loves you. He's attentive to you. I have five grandchildren, four kids, five grandchildren. My youngest, 3 and a half, I had the honor to babysit. Her name's Avalon Ocean. And I was babysitting with my wife, and she was having a quiet time. And so we sat up on my bed. She had her picture books. I was reading my Bible. And so we're both just kind of having this time. She's flipping through the pages. And as I'm reading the scripture, all of a sudden my phone, I got a text. From church, from some a leader at church. And so I get the text. She's looking at her picture books. And so I'm responding on my phone to her text. And then my granddaughter starts a conversation with me. She turns and looks at me as I'm texting. And she starts this conversation. And then all of a sudden, she says to me and raises her voice. She says, "Papa, when I'm talking to you, you need to look at me." I was like, oh my gosh, her husband's going to be in bad shape someday. But that attentiveness to be present, fully present. And yet I know many of us have wounds where our parents weren't present. They, in fact, were not there. And the pains that could be experienced. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, Paul writes, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy." He calls us children of God. We're heirs with Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. Daddy. Well, a number of years ago, my mom, when I was growing up, I grew up in Hermosa Beach. My mom got really sick when I was about 8, 9 years old. And she got cancer. She had breast cancer, and then it spread into her lungs. She wasn't a smoker or anything. And my memory of my mom was in and out of the hospital a lot. She was very sick in the treatments she was getting. And then 3 years after my mom died, my big sister was taking over the parenting role. She was 5 years older than me. We were best of friends. 3 years after my mom died, my sister was killed in a car accident. You know, as an adolescent growing up, it's like your world is spinning and trying to figure out life. Well, years later, when I had kids, we're up visiting my dad and his new wife, my stepmom. And my stepmom says, "Hey, we're getting rid of that old chest of drawers in the garage. If there's anything in it you want, go clean it out." and take it with you, but we're throwing everything away. And so I go out in the garage by myself, going through the drawers. There's some pictures I want to affect. I basically emptied all the drawers into a box, and then it's in my garage. My dad was a pack rat. Me too. Well, in there, I found this book. It has gold leaf, and I thought, oh, what an old tattered Bible. I opened it up. It's got termite holes through it. And then I flipped it over, and on the cover it says a 5-year diary. I open it up, never knew this existed. It was my mom's diary that she kept from when she was 16 till she was 18. It was a treasure to me. I got to know my mom for the first time. It has her stories. I found out my mom as a teenager was a little boy crazy. I didn't know that. But she loved her daddy. Her daddy, it was all through this book. And he took her on dates. He took her to plays and movies. And her in a relationship with her daddy. I take it home. It's on my nightstand. The next morning, I wake up and was reading this book, my Bible. And I'm going through my Bible. And as I was reading, I realize, oh my goodness, this is God's diary. It tells his story. It tells his history. It revealed what I need to believe about him and his interactions, his values. And it changed how I started to read the Bible. It went from a religious book to a personal, intimate father, daddy, Abba, I'm his child, where God expresses his heart and what he wants me to know about him. And so, be attentive. Dads, moms, brothers, sisters, affirm, focus, be present. Well, E, A-E, is be exemplary. In John 5:18, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill Jesus because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, listen to this, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. The Father-Son relationship, Jesus modeled everything in word and deed what he saw in his Father. You know, all of us here have a legacy. All of you are setting an example, good or bad, and you're influencing the people around you by who you are. In a cemetery in Leamington, England, there's a tombstone. It says this on it. It says, here lies a miser who lived for himself, who cared for nothing but gathering wealth. Now how he is and how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares. What a horrific life testimony. Another one nearby says this, remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. And someone tacked on an addendum and it said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. So, you know, these have eternal significant perspectives. My encouragement, be the best version of yourself, that your influence would reflect Jesus to all around you. Well, A, our attentiveness, affirming, B, exemplary, and then I, be intentional. Do things on purpose. This is 2 Samuel chapter 23, where it says, David, now these are the last words of David. Do you know how we know these are the last words of David? Because it says it right there. These are the last words of David. Thus says, and it's kind of an intro here, thus says David, the son of Jesse, Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, David says. He's writing this. And his word came on my tongue. And this is what the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. Listen to what David's last words are. He who rules or governs over men must be just, upright, righteous, governing or ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, beautiful morning, with the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. David's last words were to his son Solomon. When you lead, govern in the fear of God. The fear of God is respect God, but even more so, it's being aware that you're accountable every moment of your life. God knows your heart, knows your motives, and you will someday give an account to God. That is wisdom. Well, Solomon takes this, and Psalm 72, we have a psalm by Solomon. He says, give the king your judgments, O God, your righteousness to the king's son. He will govern, judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. David passes on the intention that his son would hear his father. Solomon now passes on to his son. If you've read the book of Proverbs, a lot of people don't realize this. Book of Proverbs are wise sayings, predominantly Solomon, but they're written to his son. To his children. In fact, throughout, he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. My son, chapter 2, he says, if you receive my words, treasure them, my commands. Chapter 3, he says, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. My son, my children, over 28 times, Solomon is passing on to the next generation. Here's what I want you to know. Here's my diary. Principles I've lived by, I'm passing this on. I realize this. My wife and I, early on when we started having kids, we started to write to our children. And every month we would take time and write like a proverb, and we would reflect, and then eventually we bound it into a journal, big, thick journal of the legacy we want to pass on to our kids. In preparing this message, I actually set out to all my kids a PDF copy again of that journal that we gave them. Now, there's intention, being intentional. When my girls turned 16, each one at a time, I would take them on a date to give them their promise ring. The oldest, she turned 16. We went to the La Valencia Hotel in La Jolla, and there's a deck out where you can sit and dine. And it was there that I got down on one knee. And I looked up to my daughter. I said, some idiot is going to get down on his knee someday. And he's going to promise to love you, and he's going to give you a ring. But before he does, I want you to know the kind of man that you want to be with. And it's one like Jesus. And I gave her a ring. 2 years later, my next daughter gave her a ring. By then, the youngest daughter had heard, Daddy, when do I get to go to La Valencia, you know, for lunch, you know? Well, my son, when he turned 16, I gathered some friends together, men who had been in his life. And we went to lunch, and we walk into this room, and the doors open up, and there's a table surrounded by these significant men. And after lunch, each of them spoke into my son's life blessings. One of them, one of my good friends, Ed Mitchell, he and I went to Israel together, and he told my son, he said, this is a rock from the Valley of Elah. I had a rock, this is my rock. He had a rock just like this. And he said, there's gonna be times in your life when you have giants. Like David had Goliath. Let this stone be a reminder to trust God, to believe God. He will slay the giants. He will defeat your enemies. And he gave my son a rock. Well, a number of years later, that gentleman, dear friend, passed away. He had a heart failure, and maybe 10 years moved forward. His son had a son, the grandson of my friend. And so my son and I joined his father to take the grandson out to lunch when he was 16. And we wanted to speak blessings into his life. And then all of a sudden, as part of this, my son pulls out of his pocket, had no idea. He had kept that rock that his grandfather, who had passed away, who meant so much to him. He said, "There's going to be giants in your life." And he said, "This comes from the valley of Elah, where David slew the giant." And he put it in his hand as a memorable keep. And I was like, I lost it. My estrogen's real high right now, so I apologize with that. But passing on intentionally. And then finally, be open. A-E-I-O. Open and vulnerable. You see, that's Samuel, David's last words, didn't end there. In the New King James, verse 5, the next verse says, "Although my house is not so with God, ruling justly, righteously," David's open and vulnerable saying, although for me, I failed you. Yet, he says, God was gracious. God forgave David. And, you know, there are two sacred places where it should be safe, where we should be loved. It should be family and church. And yet, when those are defiled, those become so painful. When church leaders hurt you, I've written a booklet. It's available at Rockpile, our online bookstore. And it's called Post-Traumatic Church Disorder. PTCD. It's just a little booklet. But I've seen a lot of church hurt. I've caused church hurt. And sometimes we get our eyes on people rather than getting them off of God, and we blame people. We're all broken. Your parents are broken. Your father is broken. And, you know, on behalf of many of your dads, I know some of you have had a great dad, but some of you, your fathers have hurt you, abandoned you. Your image is an angry dad who wasn't there. You weren't enough, not affirmed. And if you could accept it, if I could stand in that place of your dad and just say to you, I am so sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry for my anger, my drinking. I'm sorry for the abuse. Sorry for the hurt I've caused. I'm so sorry that I didn't hold you. You didn't measure up. You felt unimportant to me. I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? And as I was praying for you, the Lord reminded me that God so loved the world. He gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God came into this world. He bore the weight of sin. He experienced everything we've experienced. And when he was on the cross, his arms stretched out, nailed to the cross, his feet nailed, he said, "Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows the pain you felt. He knows the hurt, the silence when you're crying out, when his father wasn't there for him. And then he says, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." On behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Some of you need to forgive. Some of you need to be forgiven. And I just want to pray a prayer and ask you in the quietness of your heart to release the pain to God, because he only loves you. He forgives. He is the Father you need to cling to. Would you bow your hearts with me? Lord Jesus, I'm privileged to stand before some of the most beautiful and amazing people. And you're not a God who's far off. You're right here with us. And you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And yet some of us have deep wounds from family, from church. I can't even imagine some of the pain that is in this room, online, at all of our campuses. But you know, God, you understand, and that's why you came and died. If you're in a place where you need to forgive a parent, a brother, a dad, a mom, just in the quietness of your heart, say, Jesus, I hurt so bad. It's not fair. It's wrong. But give me the power to forgive as I'm forgiven. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me for the things I've done wrong. Forgive me for hurting others, for being influenced by the things that separate me from you. I want to give my heart to you. And the best way I know how, I believe, Jesus, that you died on a cross for me. And the Bible says that by faith, I can be right with you, called your child. And I can call you Daddy, Abba, Father. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that is your prayer, to forgive or be forgiven, as heads are bowed, would you just look up at me? I just want you to look up at me. God bless you, many of you. God bless you. As I said, forgive me on behalf of your dad. I want to tell you I love you on behalf of your heavenly Father. I love you so much. You are so precious.